Worldview with Adam Gilchrist is brought to you by Emirates. View the world of business from a different perspective with Emirates First and Business. Fly Emirates. Fly better.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to the Emirates Worldview. And stay tuned, by the way. Our Deputy President, David Mabuza, I'm going to play you a clip. He said it in Parliament. He said that our problems at Eskom is a sign of growth. I think his comments are a sign of growth of stupidity that seems to be happening between his ears. But we'll have a discussion around that coming up. We have people like David Mabuza who runs this particular country. Man, oh man. Anyway, it is the Emirates Worldview and your chance to win 1,000 rand this morning. How do you do that? Well, all you do is send us a question about the world. You can either, as a matter of fact, the best way of doing it is going onto WhatsApp and sending us the question via voice note. So 072-567-1567. If we answer that question, that 1,000 Rand cash is yours, courtesy of Emirates. But time for us to look at some of the big stories that Adam Gilchrist will be covering. Good morning to you, Adam.
Good morning, Kina.
So we talk about a ferry tragedy. This is in Iraq, and it's a rising death toll on that River Tigris.
Yes, it looks like at least 94 people have died and 55 people rescued from this ferry boat, although there are reports that there were about 200 people on board, so the numbers don't quite stack up at that thought at that moment. We know a lot of the victims were women and children. They were going to a Nowruz ceremony, basically a New Year ceremony, on the River Tigris in the city of Mosul. Mosul, much in the news over the last, 20 years or so, usually because of bombing and fighting in Islamic State and so forth. But on this occasion, this was absolutely about a celebration and a party. And look what happened. So clearly it's being investigated, but there are two immediate thoughts on this, that number one, the ferry was overcrowded. 200 people sounds like a lot for what looks like a relatively small boat. But also number two, they had opened the dam in Mosul to let some water through, and so the river level was very high and the tides were very strong, and it could be that it just wasn't quite suitable for that kind of a trip. And there's a question mark now about the safety of whether that boat should ever have put out. But I guess you have to ask such questions when you get a tragedy like this.
Now, New Zealand's new gun laws, 1 week on from the mosque attacks.
Yes, they've had their two-minute silence just a little while ago, and today is a day of mourning in New Zealand, albeit the end of the day in New Zealand. Jacinda Ardern, much pictured with a headscarf on, basically listening to speeches in a park outside one of the mosques. And this is after, as you say, the banning of the private ownership of all military-style guns. I think there's a couple of things with this, which is, I don't know about you guys, but we're in the same boat as New Zealand in the sense that there is no legal right to own weapons, to bear arms, that thing that Americans most quote. So therefore, makes it a little bit easier to introduce stringent gun laws and amnesties, and indeed people now have 4 weeks in New Zealand to hand their weapons in. But also, it's what it takes to change it. Unfortunately, New Zealand, like the UK and Australia, needed, as it were, an atrocity, the killing of 50 people in Christchurch, for the gun laws to change. In the UK, of course, it was Dunblane and the killing of those 16 children. In Australia, it was the murder at Port Arthur, 35 people gunned down. Why does it take that to come up with some common sense? Oh, it's unfortunately a grim reminder always, isn't it?
And just moving on to this story, and it's going to be around for some time until we get some closure on it. Islamic State brides, you know, this debate continues over their repatriation. As a matter of fact, we've been told by TRAC that we, South Africa, have a good couple of brides as well in some of those camps.
I think that from around the world, because at one stage there was a sort of recruiting drive and people felt radicalized and frustrated, unhappy at home, whatever, ended up joining Islamic State and maybe regretted it, maybe didn't. But they came from everywhere. And although there's rather a lot who came from the United States, United Kingdom, Germany, generally Europe, Australia as well, there are also rather a lot from Russia, and it's very interesting because we're having this fierce debate. In fact, the parents of Shamima Begum, we've talked about her, the 19-year-old who became a Jihadi bride, has had three children. The parents have actually filed papers now. They're appealing against the decision to strip her of her British citizenship, to deny her a route home. But in Russia, perhaps unnoticed, Russia has spent 2 years bringing home women and children from Iraq and Syria, radicalized IS recruits, if you like. Eventually, it could be as many as 4,000. Certainly, it's several hundred at this stage. They mostly came from southern Russian republics. But for all its flaws, Russia is basically keeping it simple. They are returning radicals home to be re-assimilated and kept under a little bit of surveillance. Now, whether that's working, I don't know. But on the face of it, it looks like they're actually getting it right at this stage.
Yeah, that's an interesting one to keep an eye on. And finally, hold on, Mario. We can't really make the sound, but let's do it. The collective eye roll. There we go. One more. There we go. Brexit shenanigans. Tell us more.
Oh, boy. Yeah, all over newspaper front pages, all over the UK, Europe, you name it, simply because the goalposts have moved. You know, when we're not even halfway through a game. We're basically in the 88th minute with a bit of injury time looming, and they've moved the goalposts. So, lo and behold, there are two offers on the table from the European Union, talks going up to midnight last night. Either the UK can have a two-week delay, so we don't have to leave in exactly a week's time. We can leave in 3 weeks' time and allow one or two things to filter through. Or, if Theresa May can actually get MPs to agree her deal for a third time, a third vote, she's lost the last two overwhelmingly, we can have an eight-week delay. I mean, it still is going to happen, is the idea. But I love this. I'm constantly looking for analogies, bearing in mind that Brexit has been compared to a black hole, taking eggs out of an omelette, feeding a tortoise, and building a submarine out of cheese. Here's one from the comedian James Acaster, who compares Britain to a tea bag. Do you want the tea bag left in your cup of tea or out? If you leave the bag in over time, the cup of tea gets stronger, and it might appear the bag has got weaker, but actually it's part of a stronger cup. Whereas if you take the bag out, the tea is weaker, but the bag itself goes in the bin. We are the tea bag.
You are indeed. You're also a couple of other things, which we won't mention on family radio at the moment, just in terms of the prospects, not in terms of the people. But yeah, Adam, as always, all the best for the weekend, sir. I look forward to chatting to you on Monday. That is Adam Gilchrist there, and you are listening to the Emirates Worldview. Now, every day on the Emirates Worldview, we've been asking you to send us questions about the world, a topic you've always wanted an answer to, and you can stand a chance of winning that R1,000, R1,000 wealthier is what you can be. Now, Dane sent us this question. And this question that he's given us is, listen to this, he wants to know, why Italian football side Juventus is known as the old lady. Maybe it's got to do with the way they play. No, I'm kidding. We went and we found an answer.
They're often simply called il Bianconeri these days, and that just refers to the club's colours, the black and white. But the old lady part of the nickname doesn't exactly have one derivation. The old part is fairly simple. It was founded by a few friends at school together in Turin, who in 1897 established the sports club focused on this new sport from England, which turned out to be football. The oldest of those guys was just 17, so when they selected a name, it was one that reflected the youthful origins, choosing Juventus, the Latin word for youth. The nickname old, then, is quite simply an ironic term, and it was apparently ingrained in the 1930s when the team stuck to playing their veteran stars instead of introducing young players. The lady part, though, comes from the incomparable love and dedication and passion that fans show to the club as they would to their lady or wife or partner. And that's why Italy's most successful club, 122 years old in November, is simply referred to as the old lady.
Well, there we go. That certainly puts things into context. And congratulations, Dane. Thank you very much for putting that question through to us. And as a result of it being answered, you are now R1,000 richer. That's courtesy of Emirates. Now, experience a new level of comfort on board Emirates Business. Fly Emirates. Fly better.
If you have a question on an interesting topic for Emirates Worldview, send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-567-1567 or hashtag Emirates Worldview on Twitter. There's more Emirates Worldview on capetalk.co.za.